So we're studying the sugya of Meleches Masheves, which is a sugya in Masechet Chagiga. The Gemara derives from the Svichas HaParshios between Mishkan and Shabbos, that just like in Mishkan, the Torah tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Chachmei Lev to do and involve themselves in Meleches Masheves, so too in Shabbos, the Council of Melacha requires Meleches Masheves. What does that mean? The Gemara gives two examples of laws which are derived from Meleches Masheves. The first rule is Melacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, and that the Gemara says is only according to Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, what's Reb Yehuda going to derive from Meleches Masheves? And that's Mekalkel, and therefore according to Reb Yehuda, Mekalkel is Potter. Again, it doesn't mean that Reb Shimon denies the Ptur of Mekalkel. Reb Shimon has the Ptur of Melech Shein Tzrichu Kufa and Mekalkel, and both of them come under Meleches Masheves. There may be many other permutations or expressions of Meleches Masheves. For example, we have Misasek, which is a Chisaron of Meleches Masheves. We have a Meleches Hejod, according to Rashi and Beitza, who says that just gathering together, you know, onions into a basket, that's not a Meleches Umnus, and therefore it's not Meleches Masheves. We have the Rashbam that we discussed at great length about, Chatzi Shir, that's not a Meleches Masheves. And today we want to discuss Dover She'enu Miskaven. So where is the sugi of Dover She'enu Miskaven? That's the sugi of Grera in Shabbos Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. Just review very quickly, the Gemara says that if you're dragging a heavy bench through a soft karka, and as a result you're going to make charitzim in the karka, your interest is only in grera, in transporting the kisei sabso from one location to another, so you have no kavana for asiyas charitzim. And the Gemara says that according to Reb Shimon, such a thing is mutter under the law of Dover She'enu Miskaven. Now one could immediately raise the question, why should it be mutter? Every other case of a ptur, Meleches Masheves, is called potter aval asur. Why in Dover She'enu Miskaven does Reb Shimon say that it's potter mutter? And the answer is, and we're going to prove this from two different Mishnayos in Shas, that the ptur of Dover She'enu Miskaven is not a unique Shabbos halacha, but rather it applies, according to Reb Shimon, in Kala Torah Kula. The Mishnah says in Nazir that a Nazir is allowed to comb his hair, knowing full well that there's a possibility that he'll rip out his hairs and violate the Isur Tiglachas Nazir, because he's a Dova, he's Eino Miskaven, his Kavan is just to take the knots out of his hair, but not to rip the hair out of his head. And we have a Mishnah in Kelayim that says that Mokrik Sus, Mochrim Kedarkam Ubavashlo Yiskavnu, they're only interested in carrying their wares from place to place. They're not interested in getting Hanah from wearing the Kalayim. And therefore they're allowed to do so because it's a Dover She'enu Miskaven. And the Gemara explains that that's Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds Dover She'enu Miskaven is mutter. So what's the difference here between, for example, Melach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, which is Potah Halasa, the Rabbanan prohibited it, even according to Reb Shimon, and Dover She'enu Miskaven, which is Potah Umutah? So first of all, we said that Melach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa means that he had Kavana for one Maisa. There was one Maisa, and he had Kavana for that one Maisa. He's digging a hole, and he has Kavana for digging a hole. That's not a Dover She'enu Miskaven. Ask me what the purpose of his digging the hole is. That's called Melach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. On the other hand, in the case of Grera, that's a Dover She'enu Miskaven because there are two actions here. There's Grera and there's Asiyas Charitzim. Grera is what he's doing with the chair, and Asiyas Charitzim is what he's doing with the karka below the charitz. And he only has kavanah for one maisa, not for the other maisa. That's called a Dover She'enu Miskaven. Why is a Dover She'enu Miskaven mutter? And there's no Isur Drabanan. Whereas Melach She'enu Tzrich L'Gufa Reb Shimon is potter aval asur. And the answer is that since there's no parallel in Shari Surei Torah to Melach She'enu Tzrich L'Gufa, Melach She'enu Tzrich L'Gufa is a unique Shabbos halacha, p'tur in Shabbos. So Rabbanan k'dei lahashvos midoseim, in order to equate the meat of Shabbos with the meat of Kol HaTorah Kula, therefore they instituted an Issa Drabbanan. But in the case of Tov She'en Miskavim, which is not a unique p'tur in Shabbos, but rather a p'tur in Kol Issurei Torah, that we saw it applies to Srika of a Tiglachas of a Nazir, or to Levish of Shatnez. Therefore, the Rabbanan don't have to institute any sort of an Issa Drabbanan, because in Shara Torah Kula it's also Mutter. And therefore there's no issue here about Lahashvos Midose.
Can you flesh out just the definition you said by Greira? It's two actions.
Right.
Can you just define what action means? Because where I come from, action is defined by what you're doing, which is pulling, not on the product.
Right, action means that there are two different achievements going on over here.
So
there's one achievement
based on what happens, not based on what
right.
you're doing.
If you're achieving in one object, one Maisa, you're achieving another object in the other Maisa. So that's called two Maisa. We're going to discuss this at great length. But before we discuss this, what I want to do is mention the sugya in Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel, because that's going to be the source for our discussion today about Psik Reisha, and specifically Psik Reisha Delo Nicholai. So what's going on in Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel? The man is removing weeds from the garden. That's called Tolesh Asav. And the Gemara says that in such a case, he should be violating an Iser of Harisha. What's Harisha? Harisha means any action that's done to Karka, which improves, shall we say, the productivity of the karka. That itself is called Meleches Choresh. In the Lashon HaShas, it's called Yipui Ara. And the Gemara says he should be Chayav for Yipui Ara. Why is it that the Mishnah says that it's okay to do this? So the Gemara answers that this is a Dover She'eino Miskavnein. His Kavana is he needs the Asav. He has no interest, in improving the karka. So the Gemara says, okay, so he's not miskavim to improve the karka, but modur of Shimon, the psik resha. There's no question about it that by removing these weeds, which he needs to first bonfire, or whatever he needs it for, he's going to improve the karka. And therefore, it's a psik resha for Meleches Harisha. So the Gemara answers, Lo tricha bi'ara de chavre. We're talking about a case where Reuven is removing the weeds in the field of Shimon. And therefore he has no vested interest in improving, he has no benefit from improving the karka of whom? Of Shimon. And therefore Yipui karka is not his issue, even though it's a psik resha. So Tosfos asks, so what? What if it's Ara de Chavre? It's still a psik resha. And Tosfos answers, Melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. The Gemara never meant to understand that you're allowed to take the weeds out on Shabbos, it's mutar l'chatchila, from your friend's field. But that's called a Melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, means he's not motivated. Again, we talk about motivation here. For the sake of the asavim, I'm sorry, he's not motivated for the sake of the karka, it's not his karka. So Yipui Karka is not his tachlis. What's his tachlis? Is Tlishas HaSovin. That's called a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Then Tosfos quotes the Aruch. And the Aruch says that this is Mutar L'Chatchila. Why? Because it's a Psik Reisha Delo Nichalei. If he gets no benefits from the Psik Reisha, therefore it's considered lo nicholei and it's mutar l'chatchila. So what we pointed out, this is where we're holding last time, up until now is a little bit of a very short synopsis, is that the Aruch operates in the case of lo nicholei within the framework of what? Dover she'eino miskavin. How do I know that the Aruch is operating within a dover she'eino miskavin, not within the framework of Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa? Because the Aruch says, Zvutu l'chatchila, had it been a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, it would be Potter Aval. Also, for the fact that the Aruch says it's Potter Mutter, it means that he's operating with a Melacha Dover She'eino Miskavim. It means that Lo Nicholei completely neutralizes and undermines the Psik Reisha element. Why did we, and how did we derail the Dover She'eino Miskavim? The answer was because of psik reisha. But now the Gemara is telling us that psik reisha is conditional on nichale. But if it's not a case of nichale, then it's not a psik reisha. And therefore, we go back to square one, it's a davashenim iskavim. So says the Aruch, it's mutar lechatchila. And the last piece of information that we want to review for today is the Chidushi HaRashba that we gave out last time. And the Rashba seems to contradict himself. On what issue does the Rashba contradict himself? On the issue of whether or not the Aruch was matir in Shar Isurei Torah. When the Rashba on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph in Masechet Shabbos presents the Shita of the Aruch, he specifically mentions Shar Isurei Torah. For example, he mentions the case of the Nazir, and he mentions the case of Mokrei Ksus with regard to Kelayim. And the Rashba says that in both these cases, the Aruch claims that it's Mutar L'Chatchila. Obviously, the Rashba understands that in the framework of the Shita Aruch, the din of psik reisha lo nichale is not a unique Shabbos halacha, but rather it's a universal halacha in kol isurei Torah. Therefore, the psik reisha lo nichale shita the Aruch, which is matir lechatchila, applies even to the cases of nazir and kelayim. More than that, the Rashba Daf Kuf Yud Aleph quotes the case of what's called ktzitzas b'heretz. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel that if a father wants to circumcise his son on Shabbos, and on a weekday, as not to Shabbos, and his son has a baheres, he has tzaras in that organ, and therefore there's a law in the Torah, he shamlach a pen that enjoins the ktsitsa of baheres. So the Gemara says, shall we apply the principle of Esei Dochalosa, said that because the father is commanded to circumcise his son, that should override the Iser of Ktzitzas Baheres. So the Gemara says, we don't have to get into that. Why? Because we're going to give the circumcision to Acher. And the Acher, for the Acher's perspective, the Ktzitzas Baheres is a Dover She'eno Miskavim. He has no Kavana for Ktzitzas Baheres. He's only fulfilling his proxy to implement the circumcision. So the Gemara asks, but it's a psik reisha, and the Gemara says that since it's acher, therefore it's lo nichale. Now we're not talking about Shabbos now, we're talking about Shar Isurei Torah, and the Rashba quotes this sugya as a paradigmic example of the Aruch's psik reisha lo nichale, which is mutar lechatchila. All this is fine and dandy in the Rashba Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, but then we saw the Rashba Daf Kuf Yud, and there the Rashba says just the opposite. Hani Mili says that when is the matir of a psik reisha lo nichale? That's only linyan Shabbos, the Meleches Machsheves Osrei Torah. But in Shari Surei Torah, there is no din of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore even the Aruch would have to admit that it is a case of Potter Aval Asur. So now we have a stira on the following question. Two Rashbas contradicting each other. Does the Aruch have a heter lechatchila in psik reisha lo nichale in Shabbos and only in Shabbos? That's the Rashba Daf Kuf Yud. That's based on the halacha of what? Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. Or does the Rashba have a heter lechatchila even in Shari Suri Torah, as we saw in the Rashba Daf Kuf Yud Aleph?
Psikration.
Well, I don't know. The Gemara says something a little bit different. That it depends, we'll get into this a little later on, it depends what kavana he has. Meaning, if it's during Yemos Hachama, during Yemos Hagshomim, and for some reason.
Yemos Hachama, it's not psikration, it's Lavanot.
Correct. Then it's just the Gemara says has to stipulate that he shouldn't have kavana to have any hanor from it.
But I'm saying, but that
should wear enough clothes.
That has implications as well in terms of whether it becomes whether it's mutter.
Right. So the Rashba assumes that's what we went through last time, that in the case of Mokrei Ksus we're dealing with a psik reisha, and the Rashba is going to answer that since it's lo nichale he doesn't get any specific hanor from it. Therefore,
it's mutter. He does call it her.
Yeah. Even though Shari Surita. Now, not only is there a stira in the Rashba, but what we saw last time is the Ramban says something absolutely odd And what does the Ramban say? The Ramban, when he explains the Shita Sa'aruch, he says that the reason for the heter of secretion lo nichale is because when it comes to Melech Shabbos, HaTorah Masra Lelivo Shel Adam, that since there's Allah Melech Shabbos in Shabbos, therefore the entire Easter violation of Shabbos is Mesura Biyad Lev HaAdam. And in the same paragraph, the Ramban applies the Shita Sa'aruch to the cases of Ktsitzas Baheres, of Mila Bitzaras, which is Shari Suri Torah, has nothing to do with Melechus Machshavos. Very strange. Okay. In any event, if we assume, like the Rashba and Kufyat Aleph, we come to the conclusion that the Aruch Sheet applies not just in Shabbos, but it applies in Kol Tor Kula, and that's called a Psik Resha Delo Nichale, which equals a Dover Sheet of Miskavin, and it's Mutter in Kol Tor Kula. What is Moda Rav Shimon Psik Resha Delo Nichale? So here we suggested two approaches. One approach is Rav Elchanan, and the other approach is Rav Shimon Shkab. According to Rav Elchanan, we went through it inside, the Psik Resha tells me the following, that since in every case of a Dover Sheinu Miskavi there are two Maisim, there's Gerera and there's Asiyas Charitzim, we have to determine which is his Maisim. And the answer to that is going to be Kavan. Kavan is going to determine where his Maisa is. Says the Gemara, that makes sense if there's an unknown, if we don't know if that Maisa is going to happen or it's not going to happen. But if it's a Psik Resha, then we have to say, Banan Sadi, that for sure he has Kavana even for Gerera, even for Asiyas Charitzim, meaning if the Gerera is such that it's very, very heavy, this bench, and the ground is very, very soft, he knows that it's going to be not only a Gerera but also an Asiyas Charitzim, and that's unquestionable, then we can assume, and Rebbe Elchanan seems to be, you know, assuming some sort of psychological umdana here, Anan Sadi, that he has Kavana. However, says Rebbe Elchanan, that's only if he knows it's going to happen, because it's definite, and number two, he gets benefit from it. It's Nichale. But in a case where it's not Nichale, that doesn't establish an Anan Sadi, a psychological umdana, that he definitely has Kavana. That's the way Rebbe Elchanan defines Psik Resha Delo Nichale.
And how does he define Kavana?
Kavana, again, is the psychological state of I have intention for this Maisa. And according to Rebbe Elchanan's presentation of the Shita of Psik Resha, why and how does Psik Resha determine my intention? And the answer is because I intend to do what I know is going to happen. Craig, nobody fooled me, so I intended to make charitzim. Why did I intend to make charitzim? Because I'm making charitzim and I know I'm going to make charitzim. Only if I don't know, maybe I will make charitzim or not, then you could say, well, he doesn't have kavanah. But the assumption is that his intention is a given if he knows he's going to make charitzim. Says Rav Elchanan, but that's only according to the Orach, if it's nichale. If it's nichale, then you could say that he has full intention for that which he knows is going to happen and he benefits from it. But if he doesn't know it's going to happen, it's a question whether it's going to happen. Or even if he knows it's going to happen and it's definite, but he's not in any way interested because he gains no benefit by it, then you cannot create this kavana which is normally created by a psik resha. So basically, what we're saying now is, according to Rav Elchanan, that somehow we have this Anan Sadi to create Kavana, and that's through the mechanism of Psik Resha, but we have to add, according to the Aruch, another condition. When does Psik Resha add this element of Kavana? That's only if it's Nichole. So the combined, you know, variables of A, his definite knowledge that it's going to happen, and B, his vested interest that it should happen, that's what creates kavanah. If he has no vested interest that's going to happen, then it remains a davar she'eino miskaven, despite the fact that it's a psik reisha, and that removes the anan sa'ah. Reb Shimon Shkop goes on a whole different approach. And I suspect that Reb Shimon Shkop felt that it was very confusing to introduce concepts like anan sa'ah with regard to kavanah, because then you are entering into the world of human consciousness and human thinking process and desires and intentions, so forth and so on. I have a suspicion, again, that's just my own feeling, that Reb Shimon Shkop wanted to circumvent that whole method, that whole journey, that whole approach. So he says the following. Reb Shimon says that there's something called a maisa, and then it's called a shame maisa. Again, this is very Reb Shimon-dic in terms, but what he means is that you can talk about the action of a person, but then you can go into the halachic universe, so to speak, and talk about the shame maisa, meaning does the halacha validate that maisa as a maisa? Again, these are my words, not his, so if I don't do justice, you can only blame me. He says the following. Let's take the case of the nazir. Now, you want to know if siruk, which means combing, is also considered hasharas haseir. So again, is he removing hair? The answer is, as a maisa, he certainly is removing hair. Or in the case of grera, if he does these charitzim, then is he guilty, so to speak, of a maisa called asiyas charitz? The answer is definitely yes. But now that we introduce another element into the equation called a shame maisa, which means that we have to know, okay, he did the maisa in a physical universe, there's no question that it didn't happen from Shamayim, but does the halacha recognize that he did that maisa? Is it a shame maisa legavi ha'ana? In other words, when you talk about maisa, you can even talk about something that happens bidei Shamayim, that's also called a maisa. Maisa bidei Shamayim. But when you talk about bidei Adam, then although there's such a thing as a maisa bidei Adam, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a shame maisa. He definitely engaged in that action, but if you ask yourself the question, did he engage in that action in a way that action relates to him? Here, the Torah said that if we have to determine which of these two actions, both of which are maisim, srika and asharas haseir, or grera and asiyas hachritz, but which of the two have a shame maisa, then the barometer for that, the determining factor, is going to be kavana. Kavana sa'anam will be koveh, according to Reb Shimon, whether this is my maisa in the halachic sense of shame maisa. Is it a maisa shemesiaches la'anam? And the koveh is kavana. Wonderful. Until we get to Psik Reisha. The Gemara says that even if a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter according to Reb Shimon, but moder Reb Shimon, the Psik Reisha. Why does Psik Reisha impact on this? Again, he's not willing to say like Reb Elchanan that Psik Reisha creates some sort of an umdara that he has kavana. Therefore, now both maisim, we'll call it grera and asiyas charitz, have a shame maisa and they relate to him because he has kavana. He doesn't have any kavana for asiyas charitz. Give it a break. What are you telling me? That because he knows he's going to have charitzim, make charitzim, therefore he has kavana? He doesn't have kavana. So what is Psik Reisha? And here Reb Shimon Shkop comes up with a chap. And Reb Osai, whether we accept Reb Shimon or not, depends on whether we buy into this thesis. Psik Reisha is not the way Reb Elchanan understood it. Psik Reisha means to collapse two maisim into one maisim. When do you have the right to raise the question, which of these two maisim has a shame maisa to it and enter into the equation invite into the equation kavana? That's only if you have two maisim. You have to start with two maisim. Two maisim means two maisim that are done as separate maisim. And then you can talk about separating the two, calling one grera and calling the other asiyas charitz, and now you can ask the question, where's the shame maisa, and introduce kavana to play the barometer. That's the barometer. But, says Reb Shimon, in a case where it's definitely going to happen, in other words, what am I doing over here? You're telling me I'm doing two things. I'm carrying chairs and I'm making charitz. No, those are not two things. How do you make charitza? There are many different ways you can make charitza. You can use a plow, you can use a kli, or you can use a chair. If it's heavy enough, it's going to make charitza. So if you use a heavy chair on light ground, on soft ground, that's called asiyas charitza. So the mice he's engaged in is called asiyas charitza. And therefore you cannot tell me, well, there's no shame because he doesn't have kavanah, and kavanah is going to be kovei the shame. There's only one maisa. The precondition for davar shein miskavanin is separating two maisim into two. And if greira equals asiyas charitz, and it's all the same, we have this larger definition of his maisa that includes both greira sakisei and asiyas charitz. Within the context of that larger definition of his maisa, it's a davar miskavanin. He has kavanah for this maisa. And there's only one maisa. So how can you play the game of shame maisa? So for example, the case of Srika, if we know up front that Srika is going to create Hasharas HaSeor, then it's all one maisa. And therefore the halacha determines that he has kavana for removing his hair, because that's what he's doing. He's removing his hair. The man takes a chicken and he cuts the head of a chicken. So what are you going to tell me? He's doing two maisa. He's taking the head of the chicken and the chicken never died. That's not so. He is doing an act of killing the chicken. That's what he does. He takes a sword and he beheads the chicken with all the gore he is. That's called one maisa. If that's called one maisa, then it's a davar miskavanin. And if it's a davar miskavanin, then he's chayav, even according to Rav Shimon. That's called mod Rav Shimon, the psik resh. But at this point, if we accept Rav Shimon, and we say that Srika and Ashar HaSeor is one maisa, if we say that Greira and Asiyas Charitzim is one maisa, and therefore he's a davar miskavanin, so we have to ask ourselves, in the light of that definition of segregation, what's lo michale? How intonation is lo michale in the Aruch going to help me over here? Again, Tosa says that lo michale has to do with the Melechas Machsheves. Alright, that's fine. There's a separate din that I have to have, and in Shabbos I have to have a malach that was done for the intention of a certain tachlis, and I didn't have any intention for that tachlis. Fine, lo nichol, wonderful malach shein tzrich l'guf. But that's not going to help me one iota for the aruch, because as we proved, the aruch is operating with a potter avol mutter situation. That means that we're talking about a davar shein miskavanin. Why is it a davar shein miskavanin if there's only one? If there's only one mice, so you can hack me from now till Mashiach time that he's lo nichol. Hey, what is that going to do for you? Because again, the yisod of the Aruch is that we deal with the universal halacha of segregation to lo nichol. Hey, that's going to be matir, not just Shabbos where there's Melechas Machsheves and Blockchain Tzuklaguf and all that business, but even in Ktsitsas Baharas and in Kelayim and in what other case do we have in Tiglachas Nazir and so forth and so on. If that be the case, how, if you've already established with the mechanism of segregation that there's what? That there's a Dora Miskavin over here, what good is Lo Nichole? You know, we've already collapsed the distinction between one mice and another. We've formed one mice, and we've amalgamated these two mice. So what are you going to talk about here? How are you going to say lo nichol? Lo nichol is just a pel. Okay, now, at this point, we suggested an afkamina between Rav Elchanan and Rav Shimon. And this is what's called in the literature, it's all based on a Taz, it's called Safek Psik Resh. So I don't know, when I close this window, if I'm trapping a fly. Okay, it's too dark to see. So the Taz says it's Mutter. There's a lot called Seder. He says it's not a Psik Resh. It's not a Psik Resh. He doesn't know if there's a fly there. So Rav Kiveger, after quoting this Taz, Shreis Chai V'Kayim, what's the Taz batting about? He doesn't know whether it's a Psik Resh. That's wonderful. But it might be a Psik Resh. If there is a fly there's no doubt that he is trapping the fly. So you tell me he doesn't know. Okay, he doesn't know. So call it a Safek Psik Resh and say Safek Doraisa L'Chumra. He doesn't want to be Chai of Skila for a violation of Melechus Tzedah. So on the side that maybe there is a fly there, he's violating the Melechus Tzedah. And although he doesn't know one way or the other, we have to tell him to avoid it. So therefore, Rabbi Kiveger would tell me that if I don't know if I'm going to open the light or not open the light, then don't open the door, don't open the fridge, right? Because it's a suffix secretion. The Taz apparently understood psik ratio in Rebbe Chanan's terms. These are psychological terms. So you can't tell me that there's an umdana demuchach and a non-sadi that he has kavana if he doesn't know whether there's a fly there. He has doubts if there's a fly there. So that's not in psychological terms. But if you go with Reb Shimon, then Reb Kivayger is 100% right. Because Reb Kivayger is analyzing psik ratio from a halachic perspective. He's going up into the theoretical, conceptual, abstract worlds of halacha. If there is indeed a fly there, then when he closes the window or the door, he's trapping the fly. That is a malechus seder, and therefore you can't tell me that he's doing two different meisim. Again, he doesn't know. So Rav Kivayger says, if you don't know when in doubt, leave it out. But don't tell me that it's not a psik ratio. It is a psik ratio. He's not sure one way or the other. Now Rav Shimon Shkup wants to explain the shita of the Ran. The Ran in Chulin says that in the Dover Shein Miskaven in Isurei Hana, even in the case of psik ratio, it's mut. And the Ran tells us that the case, just 1 second, let me just read it again. He says, Bisurei Hana, Ein Isur B'Dover Shein Miskaven Afilu B'psik ratio. Now wait a second. If we're telling us that psik ratio makes it into a dovra miskaven, then what difference does it make whether it's Isra Achila, Isra Anah, Isra Levisha, whatever Isra you want to talk about. If psik ratio undermines dovra shenim miskaven, why should the Ran posit that Isra Anah is the exception to the rule? So here Rav Shimon says Epsah. Tifa Bart. I mean, again, this is also Rav Shimonduk. I mean, it's very, it's Dak Shevedak. Rav Shimon wants to claim that there are two types of maisa. There's what he calls an active maisa, and then there's a passive maisa. And he says the following. In Isurei Hana, the Isur is not just that there's something that happened and I go back to the person, I said, well, he was responsible for it and therefore he violates Isur Hana. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to change the sequence. You don't start with the fact that he has Hana and then you say, well, he's guilty because he set up the Hana. No, that's not enough. He has to actively take the Hana. In the language of Reb Shimon, he needs a Maisa Hisnarus, a Lekichas Hana, he calls it. And even if you'll tell me there's a psik ratio, that when he does something, he walks by the Avodah Zarah and he's going to smell the incense, and he's going to enjoy the smell, that's not called Lekichas Hanoh. In Isurei Hanoh, there's a special precondition that the Gavra, the person, has to be actively involved in taking the Hanoh. In all other Isurei Torah, we operate backwards. We say, well, let's see what happened at the end of the day. And if what happened at the end of the day is that he's violating some sort of an Isur, then all we have to do is show and demonstrate that Isur that took place was a result of his action. And if it's a result of his action, then he's chayav for it, even though there was no active taking on his part. We'll give an example. Shimon says, he has an example from Rashi in Masechta Beitza regarding Tzeda. Rashi holds that in case of Tzeda, if he's not miskaven, then even if it's a psik ratio, he hasn't violated Meleches Tzeda. And that's where the Taz comes up with this whole chiddush about, suffix. But let's say, for example, there are flies, and he knows that there are flies, and he knows he's going to trap the flies. So Rashi holds a Masechta Beitza, and in such a case, when he closes the door, he doesn't violate Meleches Tzeda, even though it's a psik ratio, and he's aware of the psik ratio. Says Reb Shimon, I don't understand. Why is Tzeda different than any other malach? In every other malach, the Gemara says, Mod Reb Shimon, psik ratio. That it's definitely going to happen. then it's not called a Dabar She'en Miskaven. Rashi says it's a Dabar She'en Miskaven, even though it is a Psik Reish. The answer is, says Rav Shimon, there's a new definition that's unique to Meleches Tzedah, according to Rashi. And what does Meleches Tzedah mean? It's not just that it's not enough that I look at the animal or the fly or whatever it might be, and I say, well, the animal is trapped. How did the animal get trapped? Ah, he closed the door. So I can take the final result and relate it to the person by saying that if not for what he did, it never would have happened. That's not enough. Rashi holds that tzedah by definition means hishtaltus ha'odom ala balchai. Man takes an animal and dominates the animal, imprisons the animal through his active maisa tzedah. Are you following me at all, Rabosai? Rav Shimon is very, you know, again, you could miss the point there, but if I understand correctly, Rav Shimon is saying that it's not enough to say, well, the animal is incarcerated because I closed the door. You don't start from the malach itself and its result and then go back to the other. For that, it would be enough to say psik reisha, that he didn't seek it out, but he did it. And if he did it, he's chayav for it. No. Sometimes there's another concept of a maisa, and that maisa requires taking or actively incarcerating the animal. That's called meleches tzedah according to Shitas Rashi. Okay. Now, Rabosai, up until this point, and we're still hoping to come back to the Ramban and the Rashba that we started with, we've been assuming that Meleches Machsheves is a poter. It's a kula, which means basically, in other words, that whenever you have an Iser and you add conditions, that's always a kula. So the condition in Shabbos is Meleches Machsheves. Would anyone in their right mind ever say that Meleches Machsheves is a chumrah? L'chorah, we have to throw him out of class for saying such. But the sugya says that Meleches Machsheves is also chumrah. Where is that sugya? Alan, you remember where the sugya is?
I remember, I know he asked me the same question.
It's in Baba Kama. What's the sugya? I'll give you a hint.
Oh, that's right. He's Magbiya, the...
Well, what's that called?
Zora,
exactly. The Gemara says, why are you high for Zora? In the Zikin, there's a halacha of Liba, Velib, Saruach, Potur, meaning if in order to make this fire be dangerous, I need the help of the wind. So even though I started the process by blowing on the small flame, but that wasn't enough to fan the flame, I need now the Eish. So the Gemara says, in such a case, that's not Koch HaMurbo. Koch HaMurbo and Eish only applies when I have a fire. And the fire is a dangerous fire, but if it's a fire that's going out, then I need the ruach, the koach murbo, to light the fire, to fan the flames, to make it into a dangerous flame. You're potter. And yet, the Gemara says paradoxically, in the case of meleches zora on Shabbos, what you do is you lift it up into the air, with, you know, the produce and his chaff is sitting on a pan, and he just simply lifts it into the air, and the wind carries away the chaff. Why is he chayav for that? So the Gemara answers, the name of Ashi, this is a Baba Kama Daf Sama, Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Is here we see that Meleches Machsheves is enough to create a Chiyuv on Shabbos, whereas in Kol Tarkua, he would not be Chayuv. And again, keep in mind the language of the Ramban that we started with, that in Shabbos it's Mesura Lelev. And if Shabbos is Mesura Lelev, that it might work in any of two directions. You know, it might be Mesura Lelev Lekula, that if he doesn't have enough lev, then he's not Chayav. Or alternatively, it might be Mesura Lelev in a way that Dafkin Shabbos Lechumra, he's going to be Chayav because he, in his lev, wanted to create this removal of the chaff, meaning Melech Zora, and that makes it into a Melech. Okay. Where do we find this chumrah in Hilchas Shabbos above and beyond Meleches Zora? In other words, the Achronim here go to town. Is Meleches Zora the exception to the rule, or does it create a rule? We're tempted to think it should create a rule because the Gemara quotes the drasha of Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. Why would Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah be uniquely related to one particular malacha, namely Zorah. We would like to think that if you've already established that Malachas Bakshemis is Lahachmir, it should apply to all the malachas. So here we have a Ran in Perek HaBon, in the 12th Perek of Shabbos. What does the Ran say? The case is where he has a ches. A ches is exactly like two zainin, except that he didn't split between the two. So you have two zainin that are attached one to the other, then that's called a ches. Says the Ran, if he takes a utensil and he separates the gago shel ches and oseh shtei zainin, says the Ran, he's chayav for ksiva of shtei osis. Now the Ran himself raises the question, wait a second, in Get, where it says v'kasavla, their chot tochos is posel leget, which means if he digs out stone or dirt or whatever way, in a way in which he makes osios, because now it's depressed, if you follow what I mean, the ground is depressed, that's not called ksiva. In other words, ksiva has to be active ksiva. Says the Ran, how are you going to tell me that he's actively writing two osios? He's not doing so. Says the Ran, who says that chot tochos is potter and Shabbos? Yeah, in ksivas get, chot tochos does not qualify as ksiva v'kosav. But in Shabbos, there's halacha of meleches makshevis osra Torah. And therefore, if we're dealing with the Shem Maisa, as far as Shabbos is concerned, all I need is to see that at the end of the day, he's got two osios on the cloth, and that's a result of the fact that he was mafrid, he separated the gago shel ches. That's enough to say meleches makshevis osra Torah, and therefore he is chayav. So Rav Osai, what's going on here is that we have a ksiva which would not qualify as ksiva in Kol Tarkula. Our paradigmic ksiva Kol Tarkula will be because of Lasefer Krisus. It's not a get. There's no ksiva. Why? Because he only removed the ink between two osios. That's called chot tochos. But says the Ran, chot tochos in Shabbos meleches ksiva is going to be considered a maisa ksiva. Why? Because I'm going to analyze the end result, and I'm going to say, well, if the end result is a meleches ksiv, he's got two osios, and I go back to his original maisa, which was the maisa of separating the two osios, or digging out the dirt in the case of chot tochos, that's considered in Hilchas Shabbos a shame maisa ksiva. In other words, that definition of ksiva is different in Shabbos, and now we're going lechumra, than it is in Kol Tarkum. So in other words, just to summarize, what we're saying is that Meleches Makshevis works in two different directions. It's a chetz, an arrow that goes up and down. On the one hand, it's a gevaldige kula. And in Kol Tarkula, you'll be chayav for Meleches Shenitz Vichul Gufa, you'll be chayav for Ke'en, Makalkel, something similar to Makalkel, and all the other examples that we gave. But in Shabbos, you'll be potter because the Torah upgrades the status of Shabbos to that of Meleches Makshevis. But at the same time, Meleches Makshevis is also a Chumrah. What makes it into a Chumrah? That if he creates a result, and that result is the Gufa Shel Melacha, then we can establish his Maisa insofar as that caused the Gufa Shel Melacha to be a Maisa Melacha based on his Makshava, the fact that that's what he wanted to do. And I honestly believe that that's what the Ramban means when he says that Meleches Shabbos is Mesura Lelev Lechum. Okay. Now, let's see if we can plug this all back in to the Shita Sa'or. The Shita Sa'or is the following. What is Dover She'ena Miskaf? Dover Sheinu Miskaven means that you cannot be kovei, as we said in the name of Rav Shimon, the shem ma'isa without kavan. Okay. So, for example, again, our paradigmic example of gorer mita kisei v'savsol, and he doesn't have kavanah to make a chritz. So, on the one hand, we have a ma'isa grera with a shem ma'isa because he was miskavi to grera. However, we don't have a ma'isa charitza insofar as he didn't have kavanah for that ma'isa charitza. It's a ma'isa charitza without a shame ma'isa charitza. Oh. Now the Aruch has a problem. He doesn't understand how Dover Sheinu Miskaven could help me with regard to Melechah Shabbos. Because in Melechah Shabbos, there's a halacha of Melechah Machshavos. And we pointed out that Melechah Machshavos works L'chumra. If Melechah Machshavos works L'chumra, and we illustrated this with the Ran about Gago Shalches, if we look at the final result, then we ask ourselves the question, what or who was responsible for that result? So therefore, I see charitzim in the ground. And I ask myself now, well, that's called charishma. Who or what was responsible for that charishma? And the answer is, his action of grera was responsible for that charishma. And therefore, it's no different than Melechah Zorah, insofar as Melechah Zorah becomes paradigmic of all the melachas, as we saw in Melechah Kosev. So if his grera creates a charitz, through his Maisa Grera, he creates a Charitz, then let's look at the final result. Let's look at the Nifal. You may remember that early, for those who were with me, we quoted the Igle Tal. The Igle Tal, the Sokhet Shema says that in Shabbos, we're going to look at the Nifal. Okay, so if we look at the Nifal, what we see here is that there's a Charitz that's a Nifal. Those who were with me in the Derech, you might remember the word Nifal from the Ragachov. Okay, that's something else. But in terms of Melechah Shabbos, if we're saying that there was there's an emphasis here on Nifal, it means a Maisa Kolder, who I'll call it, even if the Maisa is not such a Knapper Maisa, it's not so Choshuv, but if that Maisa was responsible for the ultimate Nifal, then who cares whether he's miskavin or not miskavin? It's his maisa. And it's according to Reb Shimon that the whole deal, the whole discussion about Dover Sheinu Miskavin is to say that this maisa is not considered a shein maisa. That might be fine and dandy for Kol Yisurei Torah, but that's not going to help you in Shabbos. Because since in Shabbos there's halacha of what? Of Nifal, right? Of Melechah Machshavos, that we look at the Totsa'ah, we look at the final result. So then, why does he have to have kavanah for the final result? All he needs is to be guilty, so to speak, for the final result. If there was an asiyah, and it actually happened, and therefore the malacha was done, then any asiyah that he did, I mean, all he did was, in the case of the Ran, was he erased the ink between the two parts of the Gagol Shalches, separating them to make a Zion. I mean, that's not a ma'isa k'siva called Tarkul. The answer is in Shabbos, that is enough. A ma'isa zutar, if we can use that phrase, is considered a ma'isa melechah Shabbos. Why? Because we put all the emphasis on the totza'ah, on the nifal, on the final result. So now at this point in the discussion, given Rav Shimon's premises, and adding the Gemara in Bava Kama regarding Zorah, and the Ran in Perek Hambona regarding Kosei, The Aruch himself has a problem. He doesn't understand how can we justify Dover Sheinu Miskaven in Shabbos. So what I'd like to suggest is that at this point, the less braver, the Aruch is in a very difficult situation to justify Dover Sheinu Miskaven in Shabbos.
To justify
the tour of Dover Sheinu Miskaven with regard to Shabbos. Again, in Kol Tarkula, you could say, well, everything depends upon the active Maisa. And that's called a full Shein Maisa. So therefore, you need Kavana to create a Shein Maisa, and that's Dover Sheinu Miskaven. That's not considered a Shein Maisa. But in Shabbos, where the emphasis shifts from the Shein Maisa in terms of the active participation of the Adam to the Nifal, then what is Dovah Shem's Kavi going to help me? It doesn't help me a bit, one bit. You're going to tell me it reduces the Shem Maisa, it makes it into a Maisa Zutra, for a lack of a different term. But so, who cares?
It's the Nifal alone with his intention. That's what makes
no. Well, no, that's what I'm pointing to. Again, intention is only relevant according to Rav Shimon's understanding in the framework of the Aruch, when I have two Maisim and I want to set up a Shem Maisa. And in Kol HaTorah Kulo, that makes a lot of sense. That what's going to be Koveya, the Shem Maisa, Kavana. If it's animus Kavin, that's not called the Shem Maisa. But we see that in Shabbos, we're dealing with a whole new set of rules. And in Shabbos, we're looking at what? We don't begin the chetz, if you know what I mean, the billiards with the maisa ha'adam, and end up with the totzah ha'malacha. On the contrary, do it reverse. We start the process with the totzah ha'maisa, and then we ask ourselves the question, as if we were spectators on the side. We ask, well, how did this maisa take place? How did it happen? And the answer is, he's responsible for it. And we look at his action, and we say that action is considered a malacha. And that's the chiddush of Meleches Machsheves, that his action, insofar as it creates a result, which is I call it a cheftish of malacha, that itself is enough to be machayim, as long as he's responsible for that cheftish
of
malacha. But
your paradigm of Zohar has the intention of the product. The clear intention, not as a byproduct.
Okay, you're one step ahead of me, Sam. Just.
What about Seder?
Again, Rabbi Osei, give me just 2 minutes to see if I can finish this one paragraph. I want to suggest the following: that because of this paradox that the Aruch faced, he wanted to suggest the following: that all Meleches Shabbos, all of them, are like Meleches Tzeda in Rashi. What does that mean? We say that Rashi says Yochayev for Meleches Tzeda only if it's a Dovar Miskaf. But if he doesn't have Kavana, says Rashi, he's pot. So far, so good. At this point, Tzeda fits into the classical definitions of all Isurim that require Kavana, according to Rav Shimon. But says Rashi, even Psik Resha will not change anything. So whereas Psik Resha in Kol HaTorah Kulo would certainly make him chayav even without Kavana, not so in the case of Meleches Tzeda. We've already seen this in Isuri Anah according to the Ran and Chul, that Psik Resha has its limitations. So Rashi takes Meleches Tzeda and he says, this is beyond the bounds of Psik Resha. Why is it beyond the bounds of Psik Resha? Because Meleches Tzeda requires an active maisa, that the gavra is involved in hishtaltus, in taking this balchai and what word can I use, and subjugating it, whatever word you want to use. In the same way that we saw in the Ran, just again to remind myself, if you don't mind the Chazorah, that in Isuri Hanoah you have to take the Isuri Hanoah. When you're walking on the way, you have to make a little detour in order to get closer to the Avodah Zarah. If you don't make that detour, that's not called Isuri Hanoah, because the Ran says that Isuri Hanoah requires an active lekich. Comes along the Aruch, and he says, and we'll leave Zorah as the exception to the rule, that in all Meleches Shabbos, like Tzeda, according to Rashi, you need an active lekicha. Therefore, how do we justify the din of Dovar Sheinu Miskaved in Shabbos? We're going to take all the Melachos, and our paradigm will not be Zorah, which the Ran thought it was, but rather Tzeda, according to Rashi. Are you with me so far? Again, I'm not sure if you're following all the complications here, but we have in Zohar a definition that we start with the ultimate result, and then we go back to the responsibility for the result. And that's the inactive Maisa, which we call the Maisa Kut. We have on the other extreme the paradigm of Meleches Seda, according to Rashi, it's not enough to look at the old result. Sure, you captured the animal. You closed the door. The animal was captured. But no, you have to actively seek out the capture of the animal. With a Maisa that's a unique definition to Hilcha Shabbos, namely that's got to be a Maisa in which you take it actively, and then you're responsible for the result. Ah, here there's halacha of Kavana. Unless there's Kavana, we cannot say that he's actively taking it. So for example, in Isuri Anot, going to the Ran, if he didn't have Kavana to be Nana, then he's not taking the Hanoh, and therefore it's Mutter. In the case of Malechus Seder, according to Rashi, he didn't actively trap the animal, and therefore he didn't have Kavana for trapping, he just wants to close the door for whatever reason he wants. Therefore, that's called a Dor Sheyem Eskavin, in which he's not the active taker. And that's what Malacha is all about, according to the Aruch in Shabbos. Okay, so now we've shifted everything to the other extreme, correct? That in order to make him into an active violator of Shabbos, in which the Totsah and the Malacha, the Chetz of the Malacha was active, we need to make him an active participant in creating this Malacha, in creating the Chetz of the Malacha, the Totsah, the Nifah. What agent can serve as can play the role of making him into an active taker of this malacha, an active generator of the malacha? What's the answer? Kavan. That's what Dor Sheyem Eskavin means according to the Aruch. In other words, that because Shabbos, all 39 malachas, well, we have to see about Zohar, right? But in all 39 malachas, what we have is a requirement of actively creating the malacha. Therefore, kavana becomes a precondition. Kavana is going to make him into an active doer or a poel, so that now he's chayav for the nifal. If he's not miskaven, he doesn't have the machshava. If he doesn't have the machshava, that's considered an inactive mice. So if that be the case, then Kavana plays a very heavy role in Hilcha Shabbos. I begin to understand why the Ramban says that Meleches Shabbos is a Meleches Machsheves. Again, the Ramban is not referring to Meleches Machsheves as a klal in Hilcha Shabbos. And that's why he's potter, because it's not like Machsheves, it's mekalkel, it's less than a shear, and so forth and so on. No, what the Ramban means by Meleches Machsheves is that it's mosel alev. That the kavana is absolutely integral and critical to the creation of a malach. And why is that? Because in Hilcha Shabbos we need dugmas, kidugmas tzedah, we need that he is creating the result. It's not enough that they're charitzim, but he has to have kavana to make him into an active creator of those charitzim. So that's what Ramban means when he says that in Shabbos it's a dovra moser lelev. Again, it has nothing to do with moshet shikol gufa, nothing to do with makalkil and so forth and so on. But those are, shall I say, side effects, if you would call it, of meleches machsheves. But if you ask me, what is the geder, what is the very definition, the essence of Shabbos, or what is the Isur Shabbos, the answer is, Meleches Machsheves means the Dovar HaMosel Lelev. The essence of Shabbos is Kavanas HaOnam, his Ratzon. That's what's going to create his status as a Shem Osa Meiser, in order to say that he is actively participating. So for example, let's say in the case of Gerer, he doesn't have Kavana Fasiyas Kritzim. If he doesn't have Kavana Fasiyas Kritzim, then you cannot generate a Maisa Malacha, because he's not interested in making Charitzim. If he's not interested in making Charitzim, then you cannot say that he's actively taking or implementing, generating this Yipui Karka. And the Chiddush of Meleches Zorah, then, according to the Aruch, would be that it's Masal Alev. That since in Meleches Zorah he takes the fruit, he takes the grains, and he throws it up in the air, What is he saying? He's saying that this is the way you can separate the chaff from the produce. That itself makes it into a meleches machshavas. His machshavah, his kavana, means that he is taking the forces of nature and creating this effect. If he sets up a process by which the forces of nature are actively now involved together with him in a partnership deal, in creating a certain totsah, a certain nifal, then that itself is considered an asiyas hamaisa. That makes him into a mice. Again, it all depends on the tzuras hamaisa. I mean, in that sense, Zohar is very unique. Oh, now we're going to say that we get to the case of Ktzitzas Baheres. And the Rabban says that in Ktzitzas Baheres, the Aruch applies. And the reason why the Aruch applies is because of Psik Reishit Delo Michal. What's Psik Reishit Delo Michal? And the Aruch says it's Mutal Chatchil. And the Rabban is going to apply it to Ktzitzas Baheres, which is Shari Suri Tov. In Shabbos, I understand what Psik Reishit Delo Michal is. You cannot make me into an active participant in creating the result if I don't have any interest in that result. If I get no benefits from that result, it's lo nichalei. How can you go ahead and say that I am considered a miskaven? The whole purpose of miskaven, the function of miskaven, is to create a maisa and to say that I actively implemented that maisa malacha. That makes sense. If I have some benefit from that malacha. But if I have no benefit from that malacha, how can you tell me that in Hilchos Shabbos that's considered? So for example, let's say a guy would smell the incense in Isuri Ador, going back to the Ran and the Chulin, but he doesn't like the smell of incense. He gets no benefit from it. That's not called Isuri Ador. Well, let's say, for example, in the case of Tzedo, according to Rashi, if he doesn't get any benefit from Tzedo, then all the psikrations in the world from that Tzedo, all the psikrations in the world is Lo Milo Lo Morid, because Rashi says that you need an active Tzedo in which you're trapping the animal. If I don't have any benefit, you can't tell me that I actively sought out the animal to trap him. So the Ramban, therefore, applies this logic to Kol HaTorah Kulo, to Shari Suruta. But when? And where? In Ktzitzas Baheres. What is the Torah telling me when it says Yishar L'cha Pen? That love of Ktzitzas Baheres is in the parsha of Taras HaMetzora Al Yidei. Who's Metara the Metzora, everybody? The Kohen. The Torah says that there's a mitzvah to be Metara of Metzora through the agency of the Kohen. He shamalucha pen b'negatzoras. Don't try to circumvent the Kohen. The Torah is saying that by actively cutting out the Kohen, in this case cutting out the tzoras, you are violating this law. Says the Ramban, then it's a Dara Masulile. In other words, even though in Kol HaTorah Kulo we don't have the principle of Dara Masulile, as long as the Avera was done and we can retribute it to the person, even though he's not an active seeker or innovator or institutor, whatever the word is, then he's Chayav. That's called Psikration. However, if the law is a love in which you actively participate, in this case in Ktzitzas Baheres, you want to destroy the Metzorah, the Tzaras, in such a way that the Metzorah is now Tar, that's the violation of the love, then you have to actively be interested in that. That's Psikration Lo Nichole, according to the Aruch. I know that by cutting the Mila, I'm going to be cutting the Tzaras, but it doesn't matter, because Psikration is only making me into the Bala Mice in the sense that I'm actively removing this Tzaras, this Tumah. I'm not interested in actively removing the Tumah. Why? Because I'm not the father of this child. I have no vested interest whatsoever. So if, for example, I would move my bench through your field, then the Aruch says, that's not a Dora Miskami. The whole purpose of a Dora Miskami is to create a Meleches Charish in which I was Charish, in an active kind of Charisha. That's not what I did over here, because it's your field. How can you tell me that I, through Kavana, based on psik resha, that I am actively violating this Malechus Harisha when it's lo nichol. He has no interest whatsoever. The Gemara is applying that to Ketzitas Baheres. If that be the case, Rav Osai, then maybe we could answer the steer in the Rashba. The Rashba, on the one hand, tells us that Mokri Ksus, Mokrim Kedarkon, Ubelach Lo Yiskavin, etc., etc., because it's a psik racial nichol, that's the Aruch. Clearly, the Rashba is assuming that the Aruch applies to Kol Torkula. And yet, the Rashba himself says that if he wants to take this medicine for health purposes, and the medicine is going to cause Icarus, and he's going to violate the Issa Sirus, and it's a psik racial that he will be, then says the Rashba, that's already Shari Suri Torah. And in Shari Suri Torah, the Aruch would agree that Psik Reish Lo Nichle doesn't help me. Why? Because in the case of Sirus, as a classical case of Shari Suri Torah, the proof is in the pudding. The Easter is in the Sirus. And what? He has to do an action that we can attribute that Sirus to him, even in a passive way. For that, all we need is psikresha. Psikresha can make him into an osah maisa through the Rav Shimon mechanism of collapsing the two maisa into the other. You're not just taking a pill, but you're actually sterilizing yourself from one of its line. And that itself is considered an avera of sirus. Hello, what? You can tell me you're not miskavi? What do you mean you're not miskavi? Sure, it has a shame maisa. It has the Shei Maisa from the perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula, where all I have to do is start with the Totsa and then go back to the Maisa. But, says the Rashba, in that case, it's going to be also even according to the Aruch, even though it's a Psikresh, the Lo Nicholei, because that case of Sirus is a classical example of Shari Suri Torah, where the Iser lies in the Totsa. We just need to relate the Totsah back to your Maisa, add a Kavana element that gives you the Shei Maisa, and that we can do because of Psik Reisha. However, in the case of Mokrei Ksus, here the Rashba sees a beautiful application of the Shita Sa'aruch. Why? Because in the case of Mokrei Ksus, the Torah says what kind of a Levisha is prohibited in Kalayim? A Levisha which is active. What do I mean by active Levisha? I'm going to give you a funny mushroom. Who's carrying what? Are the begotten carrying the person, or the person is carrying the begotten? What do I mean? If all I'm doing is I want to get the begotten from here to here, then the begotten are carrying me, if you follow me. It's the begotten that are schlepping me along. I have no buyers here, I got buyers here, right? That's called an inactive Maisa. But in the case where the Torah prohibits Kelayim, Levishas Kelayim, what the Torah is saying is not that the Kelayim schlep the person, but rather the person schleps the Kelayim. He needs the Kelayim in order to dress himself up. So the Mishnah says, Mokri Ksus, Mokrim Kedarkom. And why? Even if it would be a Psik Reisha, nevertheless, we can apply the Sheet of the Ark. The psikresha here is that even though there is some sort of element of anoa here, his body is being warmed up by these garments of kalayim, but nevertheless, he has no active interest in wearing these begadim. So basically, the begadim are carrying him. He needs the begadim, and he uses his body as a masui for the begadim. He needs to get the begadim over there. His body becomes like the, pardon the expression, the mule that carries the begadim from one schlepsa from one place to the other. Ah, in that case, Psik Reish Lo Nichole applies even in Shari Suri Torah. Why? Because this is not a Levisha that I'm seeking out in order to get Hanah from the Levisha. Even if there will be Hanah from the Levisha Lo Nichole, I don't have any need or any benefit from this extra Hanah and this extra Levisha. So it comes out, Rabbo, so a fascinating conclusion that according to this understanding of the Aruch, does the Shitas Aruch apply in Kol HaTorah Kula? Is it limited to Shabbos? The answer is A and B. A, it's limited to Shabbos. But B, if we find the Isurim in Shabbos, in Shari Suri Torah, which mirror the Isurim of Melechah Shabbos, then the Aruch will apply his principle of Sekresh Lo Nichle even in Shari Surah. Those are the exceptions to the rule. The general rule is that there's something unique about Shabbos, that since he has a Meleches Machsheves, therefore his interest in this particular Totsah is a Melacha. The Melacha makes me an active participant, an active agent in creating this Totsah. Why? Because it's Kavana V'Nichale. But if it's Lo Nichale, you can't make me into an active. You can say there's a Shem Maisa, but not the Shem Maisa that I need for Meleches Shabbos. That's called Dabra Mosul Alev. That's the Meleches Machsheves of the Ramban. However, if Lu Yitzuyim, we can find this definition in other Isurim, that the Torah prohibited it again because I'm an active participant, an active creator of that Totsah, I seek it out, then if Lo Nichale, if I have no benefits from it, you can't even begin to dream that I'm actively pursuing this. And that's like the Rashi of Tzedah, where he's not actively interested in getting any benefits from the Tzedah of this Zvuv. He's not a Zvuv collector. And that's exactly what the Ran means when he says he really is not seeking the Levisha Sheyesh Bo Hanah Nikolai, but rather he's just trying to transport the Begadim from one place to the other. He's basically being dragged along by the Begadim. He's not actively trying to wear these Begadim and get benefit from them. And so too in the case of Ketzitzas Baheres, that's also a very unique kind of Isur where the Torah says, don't try to cut out the Kohen here and create and through your autonomy you want to mandate your own method of Tara. You're going to actively cut out the Taras from the body and do a surgical operation. No! You're not allowed to do that. So in the case where it's Lo Nichale, i.e. the Acher is implementing the Mila, in such a case you cannot convert the person from a Shem Mais into an active violator of Hishara Lecha, as if he's trying to avoid Meleches Shabbos, trying to avoid the Kohen to be what? To be Metayer the Saraz, and therefore the logic of Sekresh Lo Nichale of the Aruch applies. Ad kan, up until this point, I think we can stop now. Baruch Hashem, I think we have some understanding of the Shita Sahara based on Rishon and Shkar. Thanks everybody and have a great day.